Who here wants to be in charge? Anybody? I didn't see any hands go up. No one, right? Nobody wants to be in charge because you got to deal with all the responsibilities of being in charge. You know, hiring and firing, paying the bills, solving the problems, leaky roofs and cracking facades. I kid you not, true story. My first day of being a pastor at a Mac at Heart of Mary in Lexington Park, Maryland. I go over to the church and there is a torrential downpour, and I walk into the church and the roof is not only leaking, it's pouring water into the church. And I look up at God and say, "You got to be kidding me, right? My first day as pastor, this is what it means to be in charge." Fortunately, they had just put a new roof on the church, and it was still under warranty, so it didn't cost me anything to get that fixed. But nobody wants to be in charge. Who has dreamt about being a king? After all, it's good to be the king, right? You know, lavish castles, jewelries, servants waiting you hand and foot. But for the same reason you don't want to be in charge, who would want to be a king? I mean, after seeing the intimate details of the British royal family all over YouTube and Netflix and whatever else, who would want the job? Well, we all want good things in life and not the messy ones, the messy bits, that is. Well, the messy bits are what makes up most of our lives. However, throughout history, many have sought the position of high honor only to exploit it for their own selfish purposes. The priestly tribe of Israel, the Levites that we hear of in Malachi. "You have turned aside from the way and have caused many to falter by your instruction." They sought all the trappings of the priestly tribe and not the responsibilities. The Lord warns them, "If you do not listen, if you do not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. And of your blessing, I will make a curse." I've always told you, or if you're hearing me for the first time, I only proclaim the truth. His name is Jesus Christ. And as a wise priest once said, "You know, I got a soul to save too, you know, and I'm not going to lose it for any of you. Okay, so I'm going to make sure that I proclaim the truth and not incur the wrath of God as we hear about in Malachi." The covenant of Levi that we heard is reference to the covenant of Moses and the law. "Why then do we break faith with one another, violating the covenant of our fathers?" Now, last week I preached about, you know, what it means to live in a well-ordered society. Well, the first law is the law that comes from God, so that we can live the earthly experience and the earthly existence with our lives focused on Him and focused on neighbor. And anything contrary to that is a sin. However, there was a man and a woman and a piece of fruit in a garden and a commandment, and that was broken. And because of that, we have a fallen human nature, a selfish human nature. I want it. I want it now. Don't care how. I want it now. Comes from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, you know, starring the late Gene Wilder. There was this one character, and, you know, this little girl, I can't remember the character's name, that she sang, said, "I want it now." And she sat on a quality assurance scale and it said bad, and it dropped her out. And that's selfishness. You see, that's where we get into trouble. The three people who can get you into trouble is me, myself, and I. You heard of those guys, right? Be careful of them. In today's gospel, we have Jesus' favorite groups that he likes to use as an example. The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Jesus, you know, tells them, do what they say, because they do proclaim the truth, and they knew it, the scribes and the Pharisees. They were good at understanding the Mosaic law and enforcing it. Through this exercise, it gave them great power, but at a price. You see, they got so caught up in the observance of the law that they did not see the Messiah standing right in front of them. See, Jesus represented a threat to them, to their power, and to their selfish way of life. Look how the scribes and the Pharisees proclaimed the truth and how they lived their lives. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and the salutation, Rabbi. By the way, a phylactery is that small leather box that contains a piece of scripture. It's worn by Jewish men at morning prayer as a reminder to keep the law. They were enjoying the good life at the expense of those they were called to serve, because it's good to be the king. How are we living our lives? Now, all of us have positions of responsibilities within our jobs, within our communities, our family, and within our church. Are we actually serving those for whom we have the responsibility, or are we living the good life at the expense of others? Oh, by the way, your responsibility in the church is to be a priest, a prophet, and a king. So, you are already kings. So be a king. As a parent, your first responsibility is to protect the lives of the children that God has entrusted to you. As a king, you are responsible for the lives of those in your care. Now, here is the truth. Life begins at conception. Be a king and protect that life this Tuesday. To be a kingly people is to build the kingdom of God here on earth. How are you living your lives? After all, who does not love places of honor at banquets or greetings in the marketplace? Or are you humbling yourself by living the law of God, protecting those entrusted to your care? If you do, then you will be exalted.